Good morning, Submerged Church.
Good morning.
My name is not Pastor Bob Bartlett. That was a little Bob-isms there. I love you, brother. Welcome to Submerged Church. Kind of neat. Pastor Paul is such a, he is just so on it. He's just so on top of everything, and he's just a wonderful detail guy, and just made my day when I saw that in the bulletin. That was wonderful. Great to have you here this morning. Don, one of the deacons here at Submerged Church, and the message that I have felt led to share from God this morning is, who is the Holy Spirit? So if you ask believers, or maybe ask yourself, well, who is the Holy Spirit? And you might say to yourself, well, it's, you know, the Holy Spirit. There's God, there's the Father, and, you know, the Holy Spirit. And yeah, we know that. But have you ever asked yourself or studied, and maybe most or all of you know these details about the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. I will tell you humbly that through this last 3 weeks putting together this message, I've learned a good deal about deeper the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit a person? Is the Holy Spirit a he? Is the Holy Spirit a whom? If you want to see the next slide, the Holy Spirit is all those things, but the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. At no point since you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior have you ever been alone. You have had the Holy Spirit dwelling in you since the day, that very day you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, oh God, I pray that you'd speak to us this morning. I pray that even, Lord, a portion of what you showed me these past few weeks in preparation, God, of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is our helper. I pray that you'd give me the words to relay that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. When you trusted, again, Jesus as your Savior, at that moment, God placed his seal upon you. And he also placed the assurance that the Holy Spirit will have an indwelling presence in your life forever. God knows we're going to face some difficulties on this earth. It is evident because of our sin nature, and it happens. We have hard decisions and lots of things that we deal with. That is why Jesus said to his disciples that when he is going to leave this earth to descend to heaven after his crucifixion, he was going to send a helper. And this helper would be with them throughout their life. This helper is called the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about the Trinity. On the next slide, if you see this, the Godhead, there's God, the Father, the Creator, and God sending his Son, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, the Holy Spirit, our helper, our empowerer. All three persons of the Trinity make up the Godhead. I've read this before, this next slide here. Who assigned the helper to you? And Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be our helper. As he was sharing with the disciples that day, he goes, I've sent you a helper, someone who's going to be with you to help you. If you look at in the bulletin, you'll see not a lot of fill-ins for this message. The same God that saved me saved you. The same Holy Spirit that dwells in me dwells in you. But as I share this message this morning, maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to you in perhaps a little different way than the Holy Spirit speaks to me. So I've left a lot of room for you put a few notes in there, or just as it pertains to you this morning, how you feel the Holy Spirit leading in your life. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has sealed us and protected us. Some think they can be saved and then maybe lose their salvation. That's it's false teaching. That's not the case. We are sealed. Once we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, we are sealed. We are protected. God does not break that seal. Some pastor cannot break that seal. You cannot break that seal. Once you are sealed with the divine Holy Spirit in your life, that seal cannot be broken. The devil can't break it. Nobody can break that seal once you've accepted Jesus. The second C, the companion. Companion. Paul read it this morning, John 14, 15 through 18. I'm going to read it one more time, and then I'm going to do a little quiz with you right after I read this one more time. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Just in those few verses, reference of he, him, whom, there are five references of he, him, whom, of the Holy Spirit, just in those short verses. If I put them in yellow here, for this illustration, just to show when we insert that forever. Notice in verse 16, he will give us a helper to be with us forever. Forever is a long time. That's like as in forever. Look at that. Think of that. Even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him, the Holy Spirit, nor knows him, the Holy Spirit. You know him, the Holy Spirit, for he, the Holy Spirit, dwells with you and will be with you. That is so powerful. When you really stop and just really let that resonate, it's incredibly powerful how the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is in dwelling presence with us forever as children of God. If you think about that, sometimes, you know, at no point, again, have we ever been alone since we accepted Jesus as our Savior. That's absolutely amazing when you get your head around that. The three persons of the Trinity guarantees that we'll never be alone, never be alone, forever. Some believers in Christ actually go through their whole life and don't know that treasure of the Holy Spirit. It's just really remarkable in many ways. The Holy Spirit is with you as a believer. The Holy Spirit is with me always. Not the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you for an hour a day or 2 hours a day or 5 hours a day and then kind of go off and help someone else or do some things over there and help counsel someone else. No, the Holy Spirit is with you and dwells in you every single minute of every single day. However, I have left the Holy Spirit. I'm transparent. I've throughout a day just forgotten or just went and did my own thing, and I tried to do it my way. I thought, I'm going to just tackle this thing, and I'm going to roll along, and I have left the Holy Spirit during the day. The Holy Spirit sure has not left me. So what does the Holy Spirit do in a person's life? I've been already hammering on it. Have you ever needed help? Any of you ever needed help? Every single one of us. I need all kinds of help. I need, you know, ask my wife probably some mental health sometimes. I need help. I really need help sometimes. I struggle in life. I need sometimes a lot of help. And no one knows that better than my sweet wife. But we all have that help in the Holy Spirit empowering us and living in us. Romans 8, verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit. Because of his Spirit who lives in you. Eternal life, we have it. We're children of God. False teaching out there, don't buy into it that, oh, we're all children of God. Everybody in this world is a child of God. Wrong answer. Not everybody is a child of God. Only those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, asked Jesus to live in their life the best way they can. That's a child of God. That's the Bible teaching. If you don't like it, take it up with God. That's his word. We're not all children of God. As believers, we're children of God. This companionship that we have with the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of earthly companionships. My son Mac had his friend Jacoby this past summer. His grandparents passed away this past summer in May. 60 years of marriage, and companionship was incredible between those two people. They were living in a nursing home, and Grandma died Sunday afternoon, last past May, and 7 hours later, Grandpa died. He died 7 hours later after learning of his wife's death that afternoon. What companionship, what a special bond, what an incredible time together, all the things they did together. Sometimes companions on this earth, I'll draw a conclusion to this in a moment, might be sometimes a pet. Sometimes, can't you control your kids? That's my grandbaby. Okay. That's my sweet beau, my grandson. So I just got to make sure you know that. I love that little guy. That would have been bad, wouldn't it? No, little sweet beau. I love you, beau. Where was I here? Companions. Sometimes it might be in the form of a pet. My wife, one of her just greatest companions was our dog Riley. And Riley was with us for 13 years, and she just loved Riley. What a companion. They would get up together, and she would go to the closet, and she and Riley would be at her feet all day long. And Monica would say, "Hey, Riley, what should we wear today, Riley?" And this is not even exaggerating. She's talking to this dog. And to me, it'd be like, I don't get it. But just love that dog. She would read the newspaper to Riley. Monica would watch movies with Riley. She would walk Riley, play with Riley, tend to Riley's needs, her companion, sleep with Riley. That was my all-time favorite. I got this dog. And then he was so protective of Monica, too, when I would come in late in the evening and kind of come into bed, just going, love that dog. But I did, truth be told, I was the one who had to take him in when we had to put him down, and I did not do well. I couldn't even speak at the counter when I brought him in. The lady said, "I know what you're here for, sir," and it was sweet little dog. So anyway, companionship. Thinking of that, the couple example of the grandma and grandpa, 7 hours apart dying, sweet little Riley, companion of my wife Monica, all the more this companionship. Think of that, this is earthly things, that's earthly people, earthly pet. The companionship of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, an indwelling presence. We have that assurance from the day we're saved till the day we take our last breath on this earth as a believer. What an incredible promise that God has given us. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, our teacher. John 14:26, "But the advocate, the teacher, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things," "and will remind you of everything I have said to you." If you think about that verse, as Jesus speaking to his disciples, talking about this advocate, this teacher, this helper that he's going to ask the Father to send. 3 years. Can you imagine? 3 years. We can't even imagine this. I can't get my head around this. 3 years of these disciples traveling with Jesus, listening to the messages, seeing miracles, witnessing all kinds of awesome events and all the teachings. But see, they didn't have a notepad. There was no computers. There was no 5 phones to take a picture of things. We had none of that stuff. So Jesus knew when he was leaving that he would have to send a helper to help them remember all that happened. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus is gone. He's gone now. So Jesus says to the disciples, "Go sit down in the city of Jerusalem." Go sit down in that city of Jerusalem until you are filled to the brim with the Holy Spirit. He will bring all the things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. We are gifted. We are gifted with this treasure, the Bible, the Holy Spirit. It's just, I'm so jacked up on this message. I'm so jazzed as God was speaking to me these past few weeks. I just felt the Holy Spirit guiding me. Have you ever been in your car driving and all of a sudden you're cruising along and like, oh, I think I'm going to go, I better go this way. And you dart to the left instead of the right and avoid an accident. That's the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit guiding you. I just had this a couple weeks ago on when it was that beautiful snowfall we had a few weeks ago on a Friday night. I was driving back to our home and I'm on Highway 108 going towards our lake home. And there's a couple spots on that Highway 108 where it's deep. It is a deep, deep drop off. And the conditions were wet. You know, I was going 60, just driving the speed limit. It was wet, no problem. It's like rain, just like a rainy, wet road. And I came up on a little bit of that ridge where that just that deep, steep drop off. And if you look at it, just looking at it again on the way here this morning, Monica drove here so I could kind of breeze over my message. As driving Miss Daisy, she said, I'm driving Miss Daisy to church. So I look and just amazing. There's basically no shoulder on Highway 108, and there's about a foot of gravel, and then it is down. It is down at least 100 feet in that spot. As I'm driving there, it must have been just that condition where the wind was blowing, and just it went from rainy, wet to just ice. And it was windy. My car just starts going to that edge, and I can see in the headlights, I'm going, oh, this is the worst possible spot. There's no guardrails, no nothing. And I'm just, oh, Lord God, it seemed like 3 minutes, but in reality, probably 3 seconds. And I can't even explain it to you. I didn't overcorrect. I didn't want to do that. And all of a sudden, I just felt like this push. I got pushed right back up into the road. And I was, my feet were just sweating. I was like, oh man, all I can think of is I'm rolling many times. So that was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit guiding me, protecting me. I've mentioned a story in the past. I'll give you 30 seconds of it again. My wife and I have been blessed to have a little business here in Fargo, and we were going to buy a building to house our business in instead of renting and leasing. You know, it's like buying a house instead of renting for some equity and all this stuff. Went through all the numbers looked beautiful, but I had no peace. And I would share with Monica, and we just had no peace. I would pray over it. Just no peace. It just seemed like the way to go. Nothing looked out of line financially, and just seemed like the way to go, but I just couldn't pull the trigger. Didn't have the peace. Little did I know, 6 months later, there was about 3 down hours that just would have went haywire. So we didn't buy the building. We didn't buy the land. And I was just like, oh God, I didn't see that. I didn't see that 6 months ago, but I did feel the Holy Spirit guiding me and leading me. Just like, don't do this. Just don't do it. Couldn't explain why. But if you feel that Holy Spirit telling you not to do something and you do it anyway, what is that? It's what? Pride? What's it really called? Savannah tells Hadley may to do something and Hadley does not do it. What is that? Disobedience. No different. It is no different. It's if we don't do what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do and we rebel against the Holy Spirit, that is disobedient. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us convey the truth to other people. When we talk about Jesus, have you ever been in a situation where you've had an opportunity to share your faith and talk a little bit about the gospel if that opportunity arises, and all of a sudden, just like out of nowhere, these verses come to your head. It's just like, wow, where did that, that came out of nowhere. That is the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you, teaching you, reminding of those verses. I've had situations where doing my day-to-day business and all of a sudden it gets interrupted by a job seeker that has trouble in their life and needs some help. And all of a sudden, what now? I'm going for my business. All of a sudden, I got to try to help this person. And I sit there and talk to him or her. And, a few minutes later, they'll leave. And I'm going, wow, what? Where did that come from? I must be a genius. But in fact, I am not. Not even close. I am so weak and so lacking in so many ways, but that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provided that to me. I'm weak. I don't have all that knowledge, but the Holy Spirit is my helper, reminded me and showed me those verses. And I'm confident that's probably happened to each one of you as a believer in Christ. So I don't know if you're at this stage, if I'm putting you to sleep or if you're tracking me with me yet, but the supernatural Holy Spirit living in us, isn't that just awesome? Can I hear an amen? I'm just so encouraged by these teachings that God has given me, or given us. If someone says, I'm trying to make a big decision in my life, and just trying to figure this thing out, and just not sure what to do, and they've been talking to other people about it, how about have you talked to God? How about if you, hey, let's try that on for size. How about if you talk to God and ask Him, ask the Holy Spirit within you to guide you, to teach you, show you, how should I attack this? What should I do? Every decision now and your whole life, bring the Holy Spirit into the game. What a wonderful promise. It doesn't matter if it's business, personal, different decisions that you're going to make. He will show the truth and He will lead you. It's okay to ask other people. Believe me, I like to run things by my wife. She has so much wisdom, and she grounds me in so many ways because I'm kind of like a freak. You know, I'm just running 100 miles an hour, and she just kind of slows me down at times, and just it's so good for me. I ask Pastor Paul questions. I ask Pastor Bob questions. But Almighty God has the answers. Pastor Paul, Pastor Bob can give great advice, but they're not God. So you've got to go take some of that information that you receive, but listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. You might like your buddy's advice better, but it's not God's, okay? It might be like, oh man, man, I just talked to my brother Kevin. He's a pretty smart guy. I think I'll go that way. It might be an easy, good way to go, but it's not God's way. God has the better advice. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That list up there, how many of you need help with any of these? I need help with every single one of them. Every single one of them. I need Almighty God and the Holy Spirit's guidance for my patience. If you need help with some of these areas, just a maybe oversimplified way to do it, how about asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what He wants you to learn in that area? You ever have someone in your life that you just can't stand? They drive you crazy. It might be a politician, you just can't stand them. I think if truth be told, we probably have those people. We just can't, as a human being, just can't stand them. How about this? How about asking the Holy Spirit, oh Lord God, help me, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to love that person, to pray for that person, to actually care for them. And I think you'd be amazed, I know I have, how your attitude, God can change your attitude in amazing ways with that person you just can't stand, that are tough to deal with. Because there are people that are tough to deal with in life. It just happens. It's just we're all so different. I know if you yield to the Holy Spirit, I fully believe with all my heart, God's word tells us that your life will change. And I can prove it. I can prove it this morning beyond a shadow of a doubt, because my life has changed this past 3 weeks by just digging into God's word. We had a pastor's breakfast here a while back, and I was telling Pastor Paul and Pastor Bob, hey, I'm thinking on, you know, God's maybe leading me to teach on the Holy Spirit, but phew, that's a big old subject. I don't know if I'm quite equipped. And basically, in so many words, Bob said, get studying. You know, just figure it out. That's God sharpening you as you draw closer to God and try to live for Him more daily. That's God telling you, hey, buckle up, figure it out, learn. I want to teach you. Convictor, last, fourth C, convictor. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Convictor. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to be our convictor. I'll come back to this a little more. It's how you are first saved. If someone right now is at a Franklin Graham concert, thousands of people in that concert, there's believers in that concert. There believers are at the preaching of, listen, Franklin Graham, at that crusade. There's unbelievers there. So the Holy Spirit is dwelling in who? The believers. Okay, dwells in us from the day we accepted Christ till we take our last breath. The Holy Spirit is not dwelling in the unbeliever's life every single day, but the Holy Spirit is present. And the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is in that place. And that's what happens when that person comes to Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts them of that sin. And they say, I've been blowing it. God, I've got to convict, you're convicting me. I just got to make it right with you today. I got to accept you as my Savior. That's the Holy Spirit working in the life of a believer. That's the very first time that that Holy Spirit will work in that life when they actually accept Christ as their Savior. After we're saved, we are not perfect by any stretch. We can have some bad thoughts. We can make some bad decisions. We can really maybe upset someone. And you might be the person that someone doesn't like and in something that maybe you have done or maybe I have done. When we fail to do the Holy Spirit work in our life, that feeling we get, that feeling of guilt, that feeling of like, it's uneasiness, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit convicting of us, reminding us that we're not the followers of Jesus that he's called us to be when we're in that moment in our life. You may not recognize it, but the Holy Spirit is working in your life all the time if you're a believer in Christ. And the Holy Spirit will not give you rest, the convictor. You will not get rest. I've had folks that are, I just got to move on. I got to get a new job. I just got to go to get this other job. And if they're not right with with God and the Holy Spirit is convicting them of something, if they're a believer, and you can't run from it. People have said, I need a fresh start. Getting out of Fargo. Yeah, I'm going down to Dallas, Texas. My wife and I are moving down there. Going to get a fresh start. They get down to Dallas, Texas, and they're just as miserable as they were up here because you cannot run. You cannot run. You cannot ride. You hide. You must settle it. If something is not right with the Holy Spirit and God in your life, you must settle it. You cannot run from Almighty God. God will give us the energy. Let's see. Next slide, please. Sorry. Acts 1. No. Back up. I think I messed up. Or did you mess up, Dan? You're the man. Dan the man. Man. By the way, Dan was one of those wonderful guys that welcomed me this morning. And Pastor Bob was greeting this morning. He goes, hey, welcome to Submerged Church. Bob Bartlett. Yeah. And then Daniel's like, hey, good morning. Is it Ron? Or, you know, see, you're not here for a month and you just things happen. Oh, I love all of our folks here at Submerge. Ephesians 5:18. God tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1-8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. I just read that, didn't I? What am I doing? I think I'm out of place here. I am out of place. Now we can put up the big idea. Sorry, Daniel. So when we've been accepted, in closing here, and when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, again, we're sealed and equipped with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. How encouraging is that? Have you ever asked someone, hey, how's it going? How you doing? And you get answers like, I'm doing okay, or I'm getting by, or I'm doing the best I can. Well, guess what? The best I can, the best you can is not good enough. But the best he can, God, the Holy Spirit is awesome. That's the best that we can get out of our lives. The big idea, the Holy Spirit is our helper. Since day one, again, of accepting Jesus, please remember this as you leave this place. The Holy Spirit has been living in you since that day and will do so for the rest of your life. And the final slide, this is so awesome. It's kind of a capsule form here. God sent the Holy Spirit into your life to do all of this, enable you, encourage you, to cover you, shadow you, energize you, comfort you, help you, provide everything you need to lead a clean, godly life. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for sending us as believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit, to live in our lives. God, thank you for teaching us this truth. God, I pray that each person here this morning has felt the Holy Spirit's here, Holy Spirit in this place here today. And God, I pray that we would leave here with the Holy Spirit, Lord, recognizing that we can be encouraged and perhaps even leave here this morning challenged and get things right in our lives, if that be the case. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.